Welcome to the Alpha Female Podcast with me, your host, Robin Baldwin. This show is to inspire you to embrace living like an alpha female. But what is an alpha female? An alpha female is a powerful and assertive woman. Her confidence is due to being an intelligent and intellectual problem solver. She chooses ambition and is proud of it, but strives for a happy and healthy work-life harmony. An alpha female puts herself first, sticks to her priorities, but nurtures relationships with all the people in her life. So let's get started. So this episode is sponsored by Studio Sweden. Studio is a premium earphone company. The name Studio is actually due to an encounter with Phil Collins and an homage to the song Susu Studio, which I have just listened to on Spotify and I'm dancing in my chair. But it's basically about the determination the founders have at succeeding with this venture and providing better sound engineering and the art of Swedish design to the world. So if you're looking for a new pair of headphones to listen to podcasts to, I've tested out the Vasa Blah, don't know if I'm saying that properly, Bluetooth, their rose gold and white headphones with my new iPhone 8, and I'm actually very impressed with the sound quality. So you can use the promo code ALPHAFEMALE at checkout for 15% off. And if you need a link to click through to their website, you can find it in the show notes over at robinbaldwin.com/podcast. You are listening to the Alpha Female Podcast, episode 95. All links and show notes can be found at robinbaldwin.com/podcast. Today on the show, we're talking to Marnie Wasserman. Marnie's life is rooted in healthy living. Not only is she a nutritionist and chef, but also the co-host of the Ultimate Health Podcast. She is the author of Fermenting for Dummies and Plant-Based Diet for Dummies. Marnie uses passion and experience to educate individuals on how to adopt a realistic, real food diet and a balanced, wholesome lifestyle through simple strategies. You can find more of her over at MarnieWasserman.com. So welcome to the show, Marnie.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So when I first sent you over the definition of what an alpha female has kind of evolved into with all of my guests, what did you think of it and how do you identify as one?
So to me, an alpha female is someone who is just comfortable in her own skin, feels good about herself, confident in her decisions day to day, and is able to hopefully inspire others by having a passion or having something that keeps her going.
That's why one of my questions is what are you passionate about? Because part of the definition as it's evolved today, and all of my guests have kind of been able to insert, is that we are really confident women. But we are inspired to go after so many different goals and dreams. And sometimes we have to learn how to prioritize much better than we may have in the past. But I love that you kind of build in, inspire and inspiration into it. We haven't really talked about that in the show. So maybe I'm going to skip some questions, but will you tell us what you're most passionate and inspired about?
Yeah, for sure. And to elaborate on that as well, it's not only inspiring others, but also me being inspired. So it's really important that no matter what I'm into and over the years, all the work that I've done, all the people that I've met along the way have been such a source of inspiration to me that has allowed me to grow and to do what I do. So what I'm most passionate about is health and wellness and nutrition. So my background being a nutritionist and being immersed in the world of teaching cooking classes, I did that for many years. So initially, my goal was just around inspiring people around healthy eating, healthy living. And now it's really moved into, of course, that's the core, but now it's just everything that is under the umbrella of lifestyle. So, you know, just getting that passion out to people, showing people how, like what it means to actually live a good life and what that involves. So whether it's sleeping well and making decisions day to day and, you know, all the things that we're doing at home for self-care, all of that comes together. And I love sharing that knowledge. So I have the chance to do that on my podcast. I have the chance to do that in my community on Facebook and getting the feedback from other people. It just keeps me going.
That's awesome. So one of the themes of the show is how my alpha females have created work-life harmony for themselves. So will you kind of take us through how you structure your day in terms of work versus life and how, and I'm assuming you no longer subscribe to like a work-life balance type of living. Just kind of like get into some of the nitty details of how you kind of take care of yourself throughout your day.
For sure. And this is an ever-going challenge. You know, it really is as an entrepreneur and having your own business, as you know, there is no cutoff time unless you really make it and you get really good at it. But otherwise, you have to really put in things in place that keep you positive, keep you motivated, and create rituals. And for me, my morning routine is one of those things that brings balance into my life. So I set aside time in the morning, whether it's 20 minutes up to 2 or 3 hours, depending on how I'm feeling or what kind of time I have in the morning. And I make sure I do the things that I need to do to get my day started. So that can involve meditating, reading, writing, getting my schedule organized. I may even go on the computer and just dump all the things that I'm thinking about that I need to do that day, get them out of my head so that I can go and work out or go take my dog for a walk and nourish myself or hydrate. So I try and do all these things in the morning so that I can go into my day feeling powerful and strong and have things organized early on. I am a morning person, so this does work for me. And the earlier I can get up, the better I feel. So that's my sacred time for sure.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have an Australian Shepherd.
Ah, so high energy.
High energy, cute as anything. Her name is Goji. She is actually sitting beside me right now. she's like glue. So she's delicious.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I have two dogs. I have a German Shepherd Husky and a Dutch Shepherd. And I've been told that my Dutch Shepherd is similar in terms of along the lines of Aussie Shepherd's energy. I am a morning person, but I couldn't not be a morning person because at 5 a.m., like the dogs are jumping on the bed, like, let's go. So
they're just so excited for every day, which is also really helpful just to keep you going and keep you motivated. You got this smiling, fuzzy little face looking at you saying, let's go. Today's an awesome day.
So have you always worked for yourself or did you ever work in the corporate world?
I never did. I never had that experience. So no, I started early on working for myself.
Yeah. So how did you learn to structure your days? Like how did you learn the work ethic to kind of be like, these are my work hours. This is when I'm going to do my life hours.
It's evolved over the years. So when I had my brick and mortar business, the food studio where I was teaching my cooking classes, it was a little bit different because I had somewhere I had to be. I had an assistant so that kept me accountable to be there. So in a way, it was good because it gave me a bit of structure for a 9 to 5, so to speak, even though my hours went into the evening because I was teaching classes. So that kind of forced me into more of a routine. So that was great to a point. But at the same time, I was still carrying work home with me at the end of the day, or because I may have been doing stuff during the day, I didn't get a chance to be on my computer. So that would carry into the evening hours. And since the new year, I'd say more or less, yeah, March, April-ish, I've now ventured into the online world. So that's been completely different. So my boyfriend, Jesse, and I, we have a health podcast, and that's our day-to-day work now. So it's been actually more challenging getting the structure back a little bit. But since we moved outside of the big city, it actually has been a lot easier to create that balance because it's so important. I find self-care is just so important in order to bring your best to your job. So as long as you create some of those time windows like I do for my morning routine, then I'm able to deliver more during the day. Although that doesn't mean that I'm not going to carry into the evening maybe a little bit later than I should and try and cut off, you know, at dinner time. We're trying to make that, you know, a thing. Like after dinner, we're done. But it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah. And it's nice that you are working and living with your partner so that as you kind of create, I guess, maybe like rules of business and life, you're able to do it together. So, you know, being able to say like, we're not going to talk about the podcast like after 6 p.m. and like being able to do that together. Whereas what I'm struggling with is I work full time in a corporate job and then I have my side hustles. And so my work hours on my side hustles are in the morning and the evening. And I have a really hard time, sitting down with my boyfriend being like, okay, I'm not going to upload social media images for the podcast. And I'm actually going to be present while we have dinner or present while we like watch a movie. And so that's, it's on both sides of the coin. When I have entrepreneurs come on, they're constantly talking about like, well, when you love what you do, you just want to keep doing it the entire time. So I love when people share about like the rules that they're creating so that they aren't kind of locked to their computer or phone for the entire day.
Yeah, it's just important to be conscious of it, as you said, to like make that decision. You know, I'm going to put my phone down. I don't need to post right now. And, you know, because we are in it together, we work in the same place, you know, we work at the same job, so to speak, our podcast, it makes it harder because it's not like, oh, he's gone for the day at work and then he comes home and I'm like, oh, honey, like, guess what happened today? It's like we're in it together all the time. So we're talking about it. So it's even harder that we have to create this cutoff. Like, let's just go for a walk and talk about life. Let's just talk about things that we want to do or vacations we want to take and not just talk about the podcast.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love listening to Lori Harder's bit on the show, and Earn Your Happy is one of the top lifestyle and health and wellness podcasts out there. And she talks all the time about how her and her husband are constantly going on walks together. And I absolutely love that because you're getting in your health and fitness and you're probably decompressing from any stress from the day and just being able to spend time with your partner as well.
That's definitely our outlet. Like now that we live in Windsor, so we're living outside the city, it's a bit quieter. There's lots of walking trails. There's a waterfront. So we make that our thing. Like at nighttime, if we have the chance and we're up for it, we go for a long walk along the water with our dog and we just enjoy. So a really awesome. Healthy routine. Yeah.
Yeah. I talk about it on the show a couple of also when I have guests come on. Because our puppies, our dogs always, you know, we have to give them exercise. So it's another reason to like get out of the house. It's like, okay, I will stop working now because it's walk time. I get it.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay. So we've kind of gone over how you structure your day, but I love asking my alpha females, like if you ever subscribe to thinking that work and life had to be a balance and it felt out of whack. Did you ever have any aha moments in your life that basically taught yourself, okay, enough is enough. Like I need to do something different. I need to restructure my work and my life.
I think just before we made the move outside the city of Toronto, that was my aha moment. I was realizing I didn't have a chance to decompress in the morning or get my day started. It was just rush, rush, rush all the time. There was no healthy downtime. So I think I was working towards, I couldn't wait for the move. I couldn't wait to be in a house versus an apartment and have space and have multiple rooms to choose to be in. Because when you're in a one bedroom apartment with a dog and another person, you have no breakout space. You have nowhere to retreat. And nowhere to go, even if you just want to break during the day, let alone a morning routine. So I think for me, it was like, oh my goodness, I cannot wait. So I almost forbid myself from creating a morning routine before I moved because I really wanted to relish in it, enjoy the moment. So when we moved, like when we were unpacked, I had like things spread out in the basement and I was creating my little sanctuary so that I could go down there in the morning, do my thing. So that for me was my big aha that I wasn't getting that before. And I just felt suffocated in the city. So coming outside the city really helped me allow myself to give myself that routine.
Yeah. And people have asked me since moving back to Ottawa, I moved back in 2016. They're like, oh, how do you like the city? Like waiting for me to say like, oh, I miss Toronto. I'm like, the only thing I miss about Toronto is like my community of people that I built around me, but like I don't miss the city. And my first few times back, I was like, oh, it's nice to feel the energy. I know where I'm driving. This is good. But like the last few times I've gone for business, I have just like had full anxiety. I'm like, get me back to my house, get me back to my puppies. Like I've definitely become an Ottawaian again, or whatever we're supposed to be called. But the fact that I can get to nature so much easier than I could in Toronto, although That's kind of a cop out because I was doing like trail running at the like the DVP trails, but that's like under the highway kind of thing. Like not really.
It's a different feeling. It's a different feeling when you're, yeah, no, I get it. There's a lot of green space in Toronto. Don't get me wrong. I was born and raised there. That's my hometown. But there is something about the quiet, less people, less traffic, less honking, you know, all that stuff when you're outside the city. And whether this is long-term or short-term, I don't know, but I know that it's perfect for right now. But the community, as you said, like that is probably the hardest part. And of course, my family, I'm not seeing them day to day. We do have a very strong community in Toronto, all of our friends. So we do go back probably a little bit too often right now that it's not allowing us to relax enough here since the move. But that is the hardest part, I'd say.
Mm, yeah, I feel ya. Okay, let's get in. And I love asking this question specifically to nutritionists because we can really get into kind of more details than other people may feel comfortable sharing. But will you tell us, how do you nourish yourself?
Well, that's a big question.
It is a big question.
And it's evolved over the years because my background and what really started my business was around plant-based nutrition. I was a vegetarian for years. So that was kind of the impetus and the beginning point for me to really share my knowledge and my passion. And I did that for many years. But it was a really good learning lesson for my body because about 7 years later, almost 8 years later, I realized that that wasn't the diet that I was thriving on. And even though I was a very healthy vegetarian, it my body wasn't nourished. It wasn't thriving. So I had to make some changes. So over the last 6 months to a year, I've made some significant changes in my diet and really changed out the ratios. And now I'm eating animal protein and I'm not eating grains and beans as my day-to-day staple or soy. So I've really changed things up. So how I'm nourishing myself now is so different than, you know, I've had to change my belief system over the last little bit. So it's all kind of new and exciting, although so much of it is the same. So greens and sweet potatoes and avocado and blueberries and coconut oil, like those are my go-tos. Those will always be there and they have always been there. But now I'm going towards, you know, animal protein for dinner, and that's nourishing me, or bone broth and collagen, and, you know, making delicious elixirs with some of those ingredients I just talked about, like coconut oil and collagen, and healing myself and finding different ways that my body can be fueled and feel vibrant. So yeah, all by way of saying, there's so many different things, but right now nourishment is about what is going to heal my body and also give me the sustenance and energy that I need day to day.
So will you share with us kind of what happened that made you need to reassess how you were fueling?
Yeah. So for years, early on in the vegetarian diet, I was thriving. I felt good. Didn't really think twice about the way I was eating or how I was feeling. It was just, I was committed to this lifestyle and the way I felt. And at some point, digestion started to not function as well. I was seeing my naturopath. My blood work wasn't looking good. A couple of things were just kind of pointing in a direction that things were off, but I did not think it was my diet because I was committed to being vegetarian. And I was like, I'm healthy vegetarian. Like, I know what I'm doing. So it took me a really long time to wrap my head around it. And I'm grateful forever for some of the guests that have been on our podcast because they've had similar stories to me and shared with me what was going on with their health. And I was like, okay, there's a couple arrows pointing at me. Like, this sounds familiar. Okay, it's time for me to start opening my mind. My naturopath kept telling me, you know, you may want to consider including animal protein. You may want to think about changing things up. So slowly over time, I started to realize that, you know, I had developed more or less leaky gut, which resulted in Hashimoto's, so an autoimmune condition. So all these things were kind of creating an underlying problem. And when I started learning that the basis of my diet, which was grains, was probably a big culprit to that, it was like, okay, like I got this. I got to take this out. I got to at least try it, and took my time bringing the animal protein in because it was hard. My reasons for becoming vegetarian were both ethical and for health. So the thought of eating animals again was hard, but I did it over 2 years. I did eggs and fish, then chicken, then a little bit of red meat. It took time, but I let my body kind of evolve at each step along the way and just kind of kept checking back in to make sure I was okay with it. And if I wasn't, then I would, you know, take a step down. But everything seemed to work and evolve. And I think I'm still working through it and trying to find some of the answers that I need.
Mm, that's interesting. And when I was diagnosed with MS in 2014, I started researching the Walls protocol, which is basically paleo on green vegetable crack. Because you eat like 7 to 9 cups of green vegetables a day. But there's a huge focus on meat protein. And I was already eating a quote unquote healthy diet. Like I was a fitness competitor. So I subscribed to like the, clean eating, method. But I was still eating gluten every now and again. I was eating nightshade vegetables, which I had no idea were causing leaky gut symptoms in my body. I just kind of learned to live with IBS and just like not healthy bowel movements. And when I really started listening to my body more and doing the research, I was like, okay, let me try this. I understand I've got to do the whole elimination diet and then slowly introduce things back. Like I couldn't eat quinoa for the longest time, which was fascinating. I was like, this is supposed to be a superfood.
I know. When I took all the grains out, I was like, what? Like the basis of like all my classes and everything I did was all like quinoa and amaranth and buckwheat. But yeah, no, I can totally relate. And it's not a forever thing. Like for me, they might come in intermittently and just see how I feel, especially things like quinoa, like the pseudo grains and the gluten-free ones. But yeah, I hear you. So did you find that you really started to change the way that you felt in your health?
Yeah. And I was fascinated that, so I started working with a functional medicine doctor maybe a year into my diagnosis, and I had already, I changed my meal plan around immediately, noticed a difference in energy and digestive health right away, so kept going with it. But the functional medicine doctor a year later said, you know, well, we can test you for leaky gut. And I was like, what? I didn't even know there was a test. I had just intuitively said, you know, I need to heal my gut and my gut microbiome to be able to make sure that my cells are not confused anywhere else in my body. But we did the lactulose mannitol test, basically like a complete year after I changed my diet, and we found that I didn't have leaky gut, but I also was having solid bowel movements at the time. I'm like, I could have told you that I healed my gut just based on that. But it was nice to have that proof that I'm not dealing with that if I ever was. My like analytical research side was like, it would have been nice to prove that I had it and that I healed it. But I can do that intuitively through bowel movements.
yeah.
but yeah, my energy kind of skyrocketed. And that was fascinating for me because as I had done all my research, and there's so many autoimmune diseases out there, but there is a theme that people feel sluggish, lack of energy. With MS, the bouts of exhaustion was something that I saw really hugely shared in the MS community. And I thankfully never really had to experience that unless I ran like a 7-hour race, then I felt it. And I was like, pretty sure it was the 7-hour race that did that to me. But yeah, it was fascinating how quickly I could then tackle other things in my life because I felt so good from eating really well.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was super cool. So that's why I love getting into nourishment conversations with my guests, because like the name of the diet is going to be different for everyone. But what I love really pulling out of people is that they've started listening to their body and really noticing certain things, and like this type of food isn't serving my body well. I immediately feel sluggish, or I, you know, notice breakouts on my face. Because I know there's so many of us that have gotten used to ignoring that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It really is about listening to your body and honoring that and getting out of a certain way of thinking that this is the way I should be eating because it's supposed to be healthy, but what is my body actually doing? And yeah, there are signs and symptoms, whether it's looking at your bowel movements or your skin or your hair or how you're feeling, your body's going to tell you. And, you know, and again, different stages of our life as well too. We might come in and out of different cycles. So you always have to come back and reassess.
That's so true. So, are you feeling, I know Hashimoto's also has exhaustion. Are you experiencing that or have you been able to bypass that?
Yeah, I feel like I also like Hashimoto's is what's come up because of my antibodies. The way I feel when I read some of the descriptions, I'm like, I'm somewhere in between. Like, I feel like I'm kind of between the hyper, hypo. So I do have some exhaustion, but I also find that I'm very good at overriding it because I'm just naturally energetic. I get up early and I do all these things. So I'm like, I wonder what's really happening if I were to just see if I stayed in bed all day. Like, would I actually be exhausted and not be running on adrenaline? So I wonder where my set point is. But overall, I have been feeling better since I've been starting to take specific supplements, changing my diet up. I'd say I'm maybe 3/4 of the way through. I'm not fully like in this place where I'm like, oh, I've got it under control. I'm really still working towards it, but I have a much better handle on it. And I think there were signs pointing towards it like 4 or 5 years ago. I think my naturopath was like, your thyroid seems to be off. And I was like, I knew about it, but it's like, probably everyone has thyroid stuff going on. And so until you really start to pay attention, I did not think my diet. So I was taking the supplements that he gave me, but I also didn't realize that at the same time, my plant-based diet at the time was really working against my body trying to heal. So It's fascinating when you're ready to actually take things on and your mind's open and ready to understand what's happening, things can really start to shift.
That's awesome. It's been interesting also to talk about different kinds of healthcare practitioners on the show because sometimes we get so used to going to see just one practitioner and they're trained in identifying certain things. But we're the ones that have to control the total healthcare. And there's so many times where, you know, we'll go and see our naturopath and they'll suggest one thing. And I had a great naturopath in Toronto who was suggesting certain things, but it wasn't until I went to an acupuncturist who, based on the Chinese medicine background that she had, she said, you know, like, your body's not meant to eat raw things first thing in the morning. Like, you need to warm up your body first. I think I've shared it on the show before that, like, I was making green smoothies every single morning and it was just passing right through me. But, you know, nutritionists were telling me that everything I was putting in the smoothie was perfectly healthy. And it wasn't until an acupuncturist said, well, let's try, you have a cold constitution. Let's try like warm spices like turmeric and cinnamon in the morning before you even attempt to do a green smoothie. I was like, oh, okay. So that's another thing that I hope I keep planting in people's heads is the that we have the ability to work with so many different practitioners to have a much more holistic healthcare team that can point things out that one practitioner might not have.
For sure.
Okay, let's get into, other than walks with Goji, what's your weekly fitness routine like?
Oh, it rotates. So I have a background in personal training. So moving my body is very important to me. But now it's evolved to everything from yoga to biking to kettlebells to just body weight movements, whether it's push-ups, sit-ups. In a very short period of time, I really don't like to spend a lot of time working out. I like short bursts of high-intensity exercise. And right now, what I am loving and actually just came back from is yin yoga or like a combo of moksha yin yoga. So I try and bring that 1 to 2 times into my week as well and just sweat it out and stretch out and feel really good. So I love it because it's not as intense as like when you say hot yoga, it's not as intense as like the Bikram 1, 2, 3, 4. It's very on the floor and stretching and molding and a couple of downward dogs. It's really nice. So that's been part of my new routine and I'm loving it.
The first time I did a yin class, I had no idea that I was going to have to hold poses for 5 minutes at a time, and I wasn't prepared for it. And I remember,
I remember
the teacher saying, like, you're probably going to hate me. You're going to, like, lots of things are going to come up. I was like, what's going to come up? Why does something have to come up? I'll hold the position. And I remember, like, my brain just going on overactive mode. And now I was also just getting into obstacle course racing at the time. So at that time I was like, be more epic, do more things, climb the rope faster, like just trying to be stronger, faster, all that stuff. And then when I was diagnosed with MS, my body was like, I need to teach you how to slow down and like be okay not being epic, and you'll be fine. But like now my body craves yin classes. I've had the luck of being able to go to like every single camp yoga event in North America this year. And I just fill my schedule with yin classes. I'm like, who's teaching yin next? Like I just go around and just do yin for an entire weekend. Like it's heaven. It's heaven for me.
It is just like walking. It's underrated. You think that you're not getting a lot out of it and you're getting so much. The longer you actually hold the pose, as you know, the harder it gets. Like it's literally in the last 10 seconds. I'm like, get me out of this pose. It's not the first. It's like the end. It's like, yeah, it's been a real big lesson. You learn a lot about your personality and you see like where you want to go. It's like, it just shows how impatient I can get. I'm like, okay, you're here to relax into it. There's nowhere to be, Marnie. Just be here.
Yeah, that's so true. So I guess this actually can kind of divert really well into the next question. But what are some of your daily habits for winding down at night? So do you do yin at night or do you kind of spread it out throughout your day?
Both. So there's a straight up yin class that we do at night. The one I did today was combo, moksha and yang. So a little bit of yin and yang. So the yin one in the evening, a couple times a week is great. Other than that, we're big on dimming our lights at home. We have campfires in our backyard.
I love that.
I know, it's the best. So one of the secrets too of, well, I guess people can do it in Toronto too, but I find it's more common outside the city. So we got away with it. And we go for walks and watch the sunset and read or watch Netflix. So those are some of our nighttime routines and having tea. So we try and do whatever we can before bed to create that environment that's soothing our mind and bodies to get into a deep sleep.
That's awesome. I have had like build a backyard bonfire on my summer bucket list for the past 2 summers that I've been in Ottawa now. So now this is going to make me go home and announce to my boyfriend, like, we're building the bonfire tonight.
And you know what? I actually can't wait for the fall with the fire because there's going to be no bugs. It's going to be nice to enjoy the fire because you're going to be cold and you're going to want the warmth of the fire. And there's nothing better than sitting by a fire with like a warm blanket and a hat and socks. So I'm actually really excited for fires in the fall.
I love that. Awesome. Yeah. And there's nothing like, or I used to be a huge candle person as well. When I was living in Toronto, that was my way of getting access to flames. But it was, yeah, like just sitting and staring at flames flickering is so relaxing and totally can zen you right out. In terms of Netflix, are you big documentary people or are you big like drama series? Give us a little insight into how you escape.
Okay, so it depends. The documentary, it takes us sometimes forever to find one. So we have stumbled on a few good ones. That's once in a while. We have to be in the mood for a documentary. Otherwise, we're always in the mood for a good show that's light and cute and funny and quirky. So right now we're watching Atypical. We watched Love a couple seasons ago. I know there's another one I can't think of right now. But we like something that's light and easy, nothing too heavy, nothing scary, nothing twisted, even though I do like that sometimes, but Jesse doesn't. So we have to balance. But all in all, right now, we kind of want short, sweet, because at nighttime, I do get really tired. And if we watch anything like longer than an hour, I'm probably going to fall asleep. So a nice, you know, 20 to 30 minute show that's cute and light that maybe we can get one or two or three in, depending on our moods and our energy. That's kind of what we're at. That's what we're into right now.
Yeah. I am obsessed with The Walking Dead, but if I watch that right before bed, like not sleeping well at all. But then if I watch it sometimes, so I get up at 5 a.m. to do a workout and or do side hustle stuff. And sometimes I'll watch TV, like I'll watch Game of Thrones or Walking Dead because I won't stay up late to watch them. And like while I'm doing like podcast uploads or whatever. But then I'm all like terrified, like going into my day. So I haven't figured out a good time of day to watch scary stuff because I just don't do well with it at all, but love it.
Yeah. I know. Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's fun to watch, but you don't realize what it's doing to your subconscious. Right. So.
All right. I love asking this question because it allows my guests to be honest with where they're at. So what is a pain point of being an alpha female? So it's whether, you know, how we manage ourselves or how we're perceived by others, but what's something that you're problem solving for right now?
I would say, well, one thing for sure that's ongoing that I mentioned earlier is like my patience. So that's something I'm really trying to work on, is just being more patient with everything that I'm doing, whether it's work, with my partner, with the people that are working for us or I'm working with, just to really make sure that I'm not rushing and not trying to put too much pressure on myself or other people. So patience is the number one thing. And other than that, we, as our team is starting to grow, I think managing people and being, and I've had staff in the past when I had my food studio. So I think that's an ongoing thing. You learn a lot about yourself when you have a business and it's growing. You do need people to be part of the team in order for it to thrive and grow, but you learn a lot about yourself. And I think that's an ongoing thing for sure, is to keep checking back in with yourself and what kind of leader do you want to be and how do you want to inspire and show others and lead by example. So I think for me, that's been something, yeah, pain point, because I'm very conscious of it. I'm very aware that I want to be the best that I can be and also be at the same level as whoever's working with us. Like, I never like to be so alpha female that it's like, this is what I do, this is what you do. It's like, no. How can we work as a team? This is about collaboration. This is about communication and community. And that's so important to me. So it's about managing that. So time management and managing people, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And everyone has such different ways of communicating. And everyone has different love languages too. So I feel like not one person, unless, you know, you have spent so much time around managing others, that it becomes like you become an expert in it. Like, it's just something that we're all kind of learning and struggling through. But I find it fascinating because I love psychology. I love communication concepts. So I just nerd out on this stuff. But yeah, it's hard. And I feel you on the patience thing. And I don't know if this is an alpha female trait, but when we're used to doing something our way and we execute something and we're really efficient, especially if we're task oriented, and we come across someone that's not the same, it's kind of like, how do you mentor without being like, why can't you do it just like I did it? And that's something I definitely struggle with all the time.
Yes, for sure. It's being open-minded and seeing things from different perspectives. And yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. I just keep getting obsessed with as many kind of communication courses as possible. Like, I just want to take them all. And I definitely want to invest more. And I've been talking in my full-time job. Thankfully, it's something that companies are willing to invest in. But doing courses where you get coached on how you coach, because how many times do we actually get that type of feedback in our personal lives or in our professional lives? So I'm nerding out on this again.
Good for you. It's all about growing, right? We need to keep learning and growing and doing different things and different courses. And that's great. Good for you.
The episode that will have aired just before yours, my guest introduced me to the VIA Institute on character and the strengths survey. And my like number one strength is love of learning. So I was like, yep, makes sense.
That's awesome. That's great.
Okay. So my very last question is my favorite one because it gives us great insight into each of my guests. But will you share with our listeners what your definition of happiness is?
Yeah. And I think this one keeps changing, but I think when I break it down and when I had to answer this question for you and I saw this in the note, what came to me was a sense of freedom and peacefulness. I think when you feel that there's no restrictions, or you're not consciously like, or constantly, you know, thinking about things that are good, bad, or past, future. You're, like when you're in the moment and feeling good and feeling relaxed in what you're doing and just peaceful. I think that is what happiness is. And I think it can change throughout your lifetime, of course, too, depending on what's going on. But if we can keep coming back to that feeling of openness to the moment, to the present moment, I think that's where you can find that true bliss.
I love that. Thank you so much for taking time for the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Giveaway alert. I'm giving away one of the brand new yoga collections by doTERRA. So this is a collection of three different essential oil blends. They're 5 milliliter bottles, and the blends are called Arise, Anchor, and Align. They're absolutely amazing to use in a yoga practice, diffusing in the room or for meditation or even just in a diffuser in your home or at work. I absolutely love these blends and I can't wait to gift them to one of you. And the reason why is I need your feedback. So that's the catch. I'm exchanging essential oils for feedback. So I've created a survey over at bit.ly/alpha podcast survey. That's bit.ly/alpha podcast survey. And I want your feedback. Where are we going to take the show in 2018? Do you love the interviews? Do you wish I asked different questions? Do you want to add some questions to the mix? Do you want to take some questions away? Do you want more solo episodes with me, Robin Baldwin? Do you want more tips and tricks for work-life harmony coming from me, what I've learned from guests? Do you want me to bring alpha males onto the show? Lots of questions. So I want your feedback. I want you to have input and create the show you want to listen to. So head on over to bit.ly/alpha podcast survey. I'm going to give everyone the entire month of November to fill this out. So up until November 30th, you have to fill out the survey, and I will pick a winner on the December 1st episode. Have an amazing day, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to the Alpha Female Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. And I would love you to eternity and back if you would be so kind to open your podcast app of choice. Go do it now before changing to the next episode. And just leave me a rating and review. It'll help other alpha females find this podcast and join in on the conversations. You can find more of me at robinbaldwin.com and join us next week for another inspiring chat. Have a spectacular day.